Hello, this is Alan, one of the hosts of Rise of the Robots. Firstly, thank you very much for listening to Rise of the Robots. Before the episode starts, we do want to say that the following episode will contain spoilers for Series 1, Episode A of Robot Wars. That's the original first series that aired in 1998. So once again, this will contain spoilers for that program. Thank you very much, and I hope you enjoy the show.
You know, 6 months from now.
Yeah.
6 months, aye. We're gonna get season 10 in 6 months. Oh, maybe.
Challenge accepted.
Hello, you're listening to Rise of Robots, a Robot Wars rewatch podcast. I'm Alan Sharp.
And I'm The Grizz.
And today we're going to be covering Series 1, Episode 1 of Robot Wars. Those who haven't listened before, and how you'd have been able to, is beyond me, because this is literally the first episode.
Time travel.
This is an intro cast slash rewatch of the BBC and Channel 5 series of Robot Wars, which originally aired from 1998 up until 2018, I think, was the last episode.
Yes, rest in peace, again.
Yes. The particular series that we're covering this season is Series 1, which aired between February the 20th and March the 27th of 1998. Mm-hmm. The episodes were each half an hour long, and you can watch along on YouTube if you want. First, a kind of general look at the format of Series 1.
Okay.
So,
because it does change over time.
It changes quite significantly, particularly from the first two seasons mm-hmm. onwards. So in Season 1, the presenter is Jeremy Clarkson.
Which is bizarre.
Yes.
It has to be Craig Charles for me. That or nothing.
It's like when you see someone else playing Doctor Who. It just doesn't feel right. And the pit reporter was Philippa Forrester. Now, I have to say, it does make sense at the time. Jeremy Clarkson, they were trying to expand his presenting gigs.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, he was presenting Top Gear. It was around 1998, he also started to present his own chat show.
Okay.
And Philippa Forrester, at the time, was the presenter for Tomorrow's World, which was a very technologically-based programme.
Yes, and then did she not then later on go on to do techno games?
Yes, which we will be covering as well, hopefully.
Yep. Hence why we call it Rise of the Robots, because it's anything robotic under this banner. We're going to get into it all, ladies and gentlemen. Except maybe Robotica, because that is incredibly difficult to find.
Also for Series 1, the basic format is there's three rounds that take place, one of which then splits. So there's the Gauntlet,
yep.
Which is a
obstacle course.
Basically an obstacle course, testing the control and the speed. A Trial, which has a variety of different influences, but generally is Elo a test of power?
Pretty much, yes.
And then finally
The battles.
So the original two rounds will whittle down competitors from 6 to 5 and 5 to 4. The remaining four will then battle in two head-to-head battles, with the winner of those battles taking each other in the final.
Mm-hmm.
In Series 1, the 6 winners of the episodes then take each other on in a 6-robot battle royal.
Mm-hmm.
Also, unique to Series 1 is that this particular series is effectively open weight.
Yes.
So in other words, you have robots ranging from super heavyweights to featherweights.
Yes.
And they're all fighting in the same arena in the same time. Though the featherweights do get their own separate episode.
Which is distinctly not very fair.
Yes. The episode that we're covering today in particular is Episode 1.
The debut.
The debut, indeed. And the start of that episode actually starts with doing what we're doing, basically, which is an introduction,
yep.
Which includes an introduction of
The House Robots! Shunt, Matilda, Sergeant Bash, and Dead Metal.
So these are the original four House Robots. There will be others that come later.
Yes, no Sir Killalot.
No Sir Killalot. one thing that you do know, and one thing that will be covered as the progresses, is there's a significant difference in the quality of the house robots as well.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Particularly...
Dead Metal is distinctly different now than what he ended up looking like later on in Robot Wars' history.
So we'll start with Dead Metal, which not only is one of the house robots that evolves the most...
Yes.
But it's quite a different design in this one. Actually, originally, they conceived that the robot might actually be painted in pink.
Mm. That's going to look like a deformed vagina.
That might well be why they didn't go with it.
Good for them. Good for them.
It also, one thing that's quite different about this version of Dead Metal, in this season and season two, is that effectively it's got like an axe saw.
Yeah.
Saw flips over the top of it.
It's like a scorpion.
I think that's how it was originally conceived, was a scorpion.
Yeah, but it looks awkward.
Yes. You then have...
Sergeant Bash, who's not really... he's probably the one that's changed the least out of any of the house robots, because he's had his flamethrower ever since the beginning, but the first couple of seasons he didn't have the little claw
instead,
on the front.
Instead he has a spike.
Just some weird thing, yeah.
Yes. I mean, Sergeant Bash, it changes the least, and that might well be why it's also the one that it went from being kind of almost the leader to... It's
secondary.
Yeah, secondary, and probably by the end, a little bit of a joke.
A little bit. Yeah, because fucking Sergeant Bash, I'm sure, has caught fire himself more so than he's set people on fire. He's literally, he's essentially the gimmick character of the house robots.
Yeah.
Because it's like, look, I have fire. Yes, fire on metal. That's going to do a lot of damage.
Well, actually, this episode's probably one of the best for it.
Yes, yes, I know. As soon as I said that, I was like, he's going to bring up Davis's.
Moving on to Shunt, which is...
Format's always kind of stayed the same, but Shunt's distinctly got bigger over the years.
Yes.
He's I could look for it later. I actually do have a photo of Shunt from the TV taping I was at a few years ago.
Yes, I do too.
Yeah. And then I got to see Matilda as well, but I was like, Robot Wars! So I kind of forgot to take more photos.
And then we've gone on to... So Shunt looks like a bulldozer from hell.
Yes. Very jaggy and pointy.
And particularly in this series, I mean, it is noticeable how everything's kind of spiky and edgy. And
yeah.
Also, the axe is very different in this one. It's a lot smaller.
It's tiny, yeah. Absolutely tiny.
And finally, the very special lady, Matilda.
The Matriarch of Mayhem.
Which, I don't know if you could ever call a Series 1 robot beautiful, but this is probably the one that gets closest.
Yeah, well, there was a reason why I had a remote control version of her growing up. She was my favourite.
So she looks like... Well, it's
some kind of dinosaur.
A dinosaur, and absolutely I'd recommend looking her up. This particular series, there's a chainsaw tail and the tusks at the front. Flipping tusk at the front. I believe the first two series, the tusks are metal, though they become a form of kind of hardened rubber later on because they shattered.
They have broken off, yes, you're right.
So, after the introduction of the house robots, which is a lot quicker than we've managed...
Oh, yeah.
They then go on to introducing the robots for this episode.
Yes.
We start off...
So, how do you want to do this? Do you want to just go through each of them one by one, and then we'll say our feelings?
I think, yes, if we go through them one by one, say our feelings.
Okay.
So, the first robot that comes out is Roadblock. And when I look at Roadblock, and particularly in Series 1...
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say the one word, and it's the word I've used in my notes as well, solid.
Absolutely.
It's not the most spectacular. It's not the most radical.
It's built for purpose.
Yes.
Yeah. It's probably the easiest way to describe it.
It's, in terms of shape, if you haven't watched the episode, and we would recommend you watch the episode if you're listening to this.
Not going to lie, anyone that probably listened to this probably has watched Robot Wars.
Has watched Robot Wars, yes. But it's your classic wedge shape. There's a saw at the back for weaponry. And the reason it's called Roadblock is because it actually uses...
Big ass road sign.
Road signs.
Entry number two, Killatron, and it's fluorescent pink. What a horrendous colour.
Yes, so Killatron, quite a bit more eccentric looking, yes. Fair to say.
Six wheels. Which is very weird, like, because it's...
The only two of them appear to be on the ground most of the time.
Yeah, it's kind of... It's like a seesaw kind of thing.
Design, yes. Yeah. Top armour is constructed of a painted wheelie bin.
Yep.
And I actually took a note of this because I found it quite interesting. Killatron was a fairly successful robot, certainly the first two series. Cost £300 to build.
Nice.
Now, we'll compare that with some of the robots in later series, and I think £300 will be quite a bit low on the budget. Killatron's main weapon is a pickaxe, which swings from the centre of the robot.
Kind of similar to Dead Metal?
Kind of similar to, yes, Dead Metal system, except with a pickaxe instead of a saw.
Entry number three is Barry.
Is Barry, which almost immediately swings off to one side in its entrance. It does sound like it had quite a few significant control problems.
Yeah, which we'll get into.
We'll get into, but actually even to the point where I believe there's actually... No, I should point anything that I'm going to mentioning that's going to backstage is totally credit to the Robot Wars fandom wikia, which is really quite good and it's really extensive.
Absolutely.
But Barry actually ended up damaging the entrance doors.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, the reason
Did it drive into them?
Yes.
Fuck.
Now, the reason that might have been the case... There may have been issues with the radio signals.
Yeah.
You have to consider, obviously, this is 21 years ago. The technology is not as advanced as we are now.
Yeah.
I actually believe that someone ended up cutting their arm on Barry.
What?
Yeah. Someone cut their arm on the scoop at one point.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, it is one thing that I'm probably end up going to talk about in the series. The safety doesn't seem to be...
There.
No, there is safety measures. It's just maybe not quite up to scratch just yet.
Because you see in these later seasons, like every time the robots are backstage and all that, they're all covered in all the...
All the sharp edges are covered. And there's the link as well, which becomes a bigger part of later series, which we'll discuss closer to... Probably the first time it comes up in an episode. Should probably explain what Barry X is. So Barry is...
Scoop.
A scoop robot.
Scoop robot with giant rubber wheels.
He
essentially looks like a giant fucking remote control car.
Yes.
With a snowplow. A giant remote controlled snowplow. He's not Mr. Plow, but...
And also coming out is Shogun, which is a box on wheels.
Yep.
With lots of small weapons around.
Small jabby, stabby stuff.
Yes, little blades and little chisels.
Which goes well with the skull that's painted on it, because he looks like he's, like, essentially the representative robot of, like, a fucking basic bike gang.
Yes.
Not a bicycle gang, because that sounds lame.
Well, maybe both.
A bikey gang!
And next coming out is Nemesis.
My favourite. God damn it.
Nemesis, which is one of the iconic teams from Team Nemesis, now probably known more as Mechatrons, I believe their company is called now.
Oh, really?
Yes, they actually have formed a company now.
Huh.
And Nemesis is distinctive because it is covered in red and black polka dot fur. With a pneumatic spike coming out the front of it and several spikes to the side.
Yeah, and a big massive tail of spikes on the back. It's just like he just looks like he looks like the kind of robot you don't want to meet in a dark alley because he's just like, "Yeah, give me your watch, see?"
And it has got the demented grin to match that, actually.
Exactly. Fucking terrifying.
And the final robot to come out is Grunt, which Grunt is a small wedge robot. It's a middleweight robot.
Looks like it's like a spaceship or something like that.
I believe it was a navy ship was the look they were trying to go for.
Mm.
Now, Grunt, there's a couple things to note about Grunt. Firstly, Grunt is actually one of the robots that took place in the 1994 Robot Wars.
In America?
Well, when the American robots come to visit.
Oh, okay.
So, for instance, there's actually a clip in the in this particular episode, which is Thor versus the Master.
Yes.
That was actually recorded in the UK.
Oh, shit.
And there were three UK robots that appear, all of which appear in this series. Grunt, Eubank the Mouse, and WYSIWYG.
Yes.
These robots are all entered by the production team so that they had 36 entries.
Nice. Because I bought the VHS. If any of you listeners don't know what that is a thing that was before DVDs.
Yes.
Of the First War. And one of the bonus editions on that VHS, bonus editions of VHS, what? Was you actually got to see the entire... Did you say it was Thor versus the Master?
Thor versus the Master,
yeah, yes. You got to see that entire match.
Yes.
And that was like, I was like, what is this?
Yes. I'm imagining Thor and the Master will... Well, I know that the Master certainly comes up in BattleBots if we ever end up covering that.
What do you mean, F? You mean when? Exactly.
So, and that is our entry list for this episode.
Mm.
Now, one other thing that I did note... as I mentioned, you've got one robot in that is literally there because the production team needed 36 robots.
Because they actually said on the commentary, I don't know if you caught this, like they literally says that the WYSIWYG, what's-her-face?
Yeah.
Driver. Like, they literally said that she was a volunteer. And I was like,
yes.
What does that mean? And it's like, now that you've explained exactly yes. what that means, like...
Exactly. The other thing as well to keep in mind with that, I mentioned it's open weight. Now, Roadblock, Barry, and there's another one in this episode, Shogun, are all listed as heavyweights in the episode, despite the fact that all of them weigh over 80 kilos. In Barry's case, I actually believe Barry's heavier than Shunt, the lightest house robot.
Right.
Which is quite incredible when you consider that that's how... Almost how... low the number of competitors are, that they have literally just accepted the first 33 robots that they could actually get in.
At this point, it sounded as if it was kind of panic mode, where it's just like, we just need this many robots. If you can make a thing of fucking Kinects, then you know what, you're in.
I think some of the robots were actually made with Kinects.
It's as good as. So just wait till we get to Techno Games. There was definitely robots made out of Kinects. That's why I thought that there was a chance that I could get any Techno Games. But you know what? We'll wait until we get to Techno Games for me to tell those stories.
Yes. So we actually get on to the gauntlet, which takes up about half the episode.
Do you want me to take over this? I've got.
Yep.
I have extensive notes.
As do I.
Jesus Christ, you do. All right, then. Let's take one each. I'll start off with Roadblock, who manages to take on the house robots and beats the house robots with ease. What we will see is, like, so it's the left-hand side is just littered with house robots, but it's a completely blank space. The middle is the ramp route.
Yep.
Two ramps. There's a seesaw ramp, and then there's a solid ramp.
One thing I did note is the two ramps are not in a line with each other, so
not.
You do need to maneuver between them.
And the third route is the maze with the corkscrew lances, and... there's always a house robot kind of looming around the end, so...
As a sweeper bot.
Yes, you can kind of be trapped either way. But, as I say, Roadblock, right through the house robot route, manages to nail it pretty much unscathed.
Yeah, almost, I think it, much like the robot itself, very kind of solid. Not the most spectacular, not the fastest, but they did actually get through it. Didn't seem to have any major difficulties.
Hmm.
Which you imagine they've built. You do wonder if they'd maybe not have aired Roadblock first, because it did make the challenge of the gauntlet look fairly easy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Next, we go on to Barry. Oh dear.
Ah, sweet little Barry.
So Barry does not look like it's maybe in full control.
Looks too fast for its controls.
I think we're actually going to end up... That's something we may say a few times this series. The robot just kind of seems to... Almost to panic. And eventually it gets stuck onto the ramp.
Yeah, it comes out really fast out of the turntable. It kind of goes for the ramp, but then fucking misses it. Like, it kind of scoops up and then just drives right off this idea.
Yes.
And then Shunt just gets it stuck on the grill and just fucking pounds it until the end of the round.
And it only manages to travel 2.93 meters.
Yeah. That's exactly what I've got as well.
Yep.
Robot number three is Shogun. A slightly slower robot, a decent start. Manages to go over the first ramp pretty well. Then comes the second ramp and just kind of goes up, looks good, and then just kind of falls right off the side.
Yeah, it was strange. It looked like it got up the ramp fine.
Yeah.
And then it just randomly...
kind of swayed like it was drunk, and then just up, oh fuck. And then just down the side, and then just got brutalized by the house robots until its turn was over. Did manage to make enough ground to get it through by going 10.71 meters.
Yep.
But really, I think, like, they were kind of saying afterwards that there was some kind of problem with, like...
one of the speed controllers,
yeah,
I think.
And,
which comes back later in the episode, actually.
It does, actually. But I think, like, had there not been a problem with that, like, Shogun would have completed this course with no problem. Could have even maybe been a contender to actually win the episode. Debatable. We'll see.
This is an audio podcast, so I will try and explain the expression I have. If I had eyebrows, they would be very, very raised. One thing that is quite incredible, you can tell it with Series 1 in general, they don't half rattle through things. Because
yes,
they've got that half-hour time slot. Speaking of rattling on, we had Nemesis next, who, much like Roadblock, very impressive.
Yes.
Managed to get through. Maybe had a little bit more of a challenge than Roadblock in terms of having to manoeuvre.
Yep, because they went over the ramps.
Yep, and it also, I believe it managed to turn away one of the house robots. But they, again, very impressive.
I think it was Matilda, maybe, that was at the end.
Yes, it was.
Kind of danced around her.
Yes, exactly. So Nemesis, very impressive, and Nemesis actually quicker than Roadblock.
Yes, actually was top of the class for this episode.
Yep.
I will say, like, every robot, when they start doing the run, it cuts to the team backstage to introduce the robot and what they're all about, and Nemesis wearing their polka dot waistcoats. Always wanted one of those.
I have to say, Nemesis, out of all the teams, Nemesis certainly looked the most comfortable on camera.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the Roblox guys are fairly comfortable, but everyone else is kind of...
I forgot this was going to be on television.
Yes. And then finally, we get on to... well, sorry, there's two left.
No, Nemesis. Nemesis went.
Nemesis has went, so that's fourth.
Oh, yeah, shit, Calatron. Jesus.
Right. No, I did the same thing. Right, oh, no. If you want to go on, right. And next up was Grunt. And I have a few things to say, but I'm going to let Grizz describe the run first.
Okay, well, Grunt took the house robot route, which a lot of people seem to be doing. Manages to squeak through, but, like, he pretty much got caught about halfway by Dead Metal, but Dead Metal just kind of backed away and just kind of let him go. Matilda didn't really put up much of a fight. Grunt manages to squeak through, but definitely, you know, took a bit of a pounding before he managed to make it.
Yep, that's great. And I have to say, I do think that the controller of Grunt did a very fine job. He definitely seems to be a very skilled controller. And therefore, I think it's a shame on both him and the team of Barry that it's a stock bot that can't win.
Mm.
In other words, they were explicitly told that they weren't allowed to get to the battles.
Oh, yeah?
And that's one of the reasons I don't get, fundamentally, I think it is fundamentally unfair on a team like Barry, when they're a school team,
yeah,
that a robot that absolutely had no chance, and we'll get to the trial as well,
mm-hmm,
Barry, a robot which would have done very well at the trial.
Barry, see if Barry got out of this gauntlet. Again, I think they could they could have went far.
Control issues aside, is the one caveat I would have. But certainly, This is not me having a go at the team. Matthew Dickinson, I think the guy's name is. I think he's the son of one of the judges. But he did a phenomenal job, and as
or the lead singer of Iron Maiden. But
as I said, I think he did a phenomenal job, and I think if he'd been able to control a better robot, or if, for instance, maybe he'd been allowed to control Barry, I think that would have avoided two problems.
I know, but it seems that, wait, so were you saying that, was Barry one of the...
No, Grunt's a stock bot.
Right, Grunt's a stock bot.
So Grunt was told in advance,
you
are going out in one of the two trials.
Okay.
This is a theme that goes on throughout the series. I just think it's fundamentally unfair to have a robot that very easily, because they're getting people that know what they're doing, that a genuine competitor ends up missing out.
Yeah. See, I never knew this ship, so this is quite interesting.
And then finally, the final entrant is Killatron.
Mm-hmm.
And they like swinging their axe.
Jesus.
The amount of times that axe swings. The run is very spectacular. And then, much like Shogun, gets kind of caught on the second ramp.
Yep.
And they escape by swinging their axe randomly. And then they start attacking, because they land on a set of bed springs, and they just start axing the bed springs.
Just fucking, right, like the thing is, like, they fall off the second ramp, but, like, because of the weird setup of their robot, they manage to continue creeping along the side of the ramp, like, much more. Like, they manage to get significantly further, which is just because of the weird way that this robot is set up.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, yeah, they get to Jeremy Pierce's old bed springs, as he says on commentary.
Jonathan Pierce.
Jesus Christ. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's not like he's in every episode or anything.
Jeremy Pierce. Yeah, that's the combination of the host and the commentator.
Oh, we
that's
should...
the disturbing fucking love child that the two of them would make.
I've just realised something very awful. We are 30 minutes into this recording. Now, obviously, I'm imagining this is short after editing.
Yes.
We've not mentioned Jonathan Pierce yet. Yes, commentating over the whole thing in this episode and all series for the rest
of time.
Jonathan Pierce commentates, the football commentator, also presented...
Never heard of him.
Fighting Talk. Oh, he's...
I'm just fucking hate football. I've literally heard him. Like,
he is a brilliant commentator.
He's fantastic.
I'm a huge fan of him. And he does a really phenomenal job, Robot Wars. He's one of, it's him and Noel Sharkey are the only two people that are in every single episode of Robot Wars.
Yeah.
Which is really phenomenal. So the final result of the gauntlet, Nemesis comes out on top. Grunt finishes second because it's well controlled.
Mm-hmm. And Roadblock.
Then Roadblock, and then I believe it's Killatron.
Yep.
Then Shogun, and Barry gets
eliminated.
Gets eliminated.
Which really sucks. As I was saying earlier, because like they have a really nice setup for a robot.
Yeah.
And I think I don't know why they never bothered coming back.
They do come back, not with Barry. So they tried to enter Series 2 and they ended up not qualifying. And then Season 3, they have a robot, Sonic, that comes about.
Mm. But they should have brought Barry back. Because Barry was quite the sturdy robot. Because
I think the issue is Barry weighed 112 kilos.
Well, so what does that mean exactly?
So the weight limit, they weren't really enforcing the weight limit in Series 1, but
yeah,
in Series 2, the weight limit was 80 kilos.
Oh, Jesus.
So,
for a heavyweight?
Yeah, for a heavyweight. So you're talking, you know, you have to shed 30 kilos. I believe the wheels of Barry make an appearance again, because the wheels are in Sonic, which is their next robot. Hi guys, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the main show to thank one of the many people who've helped put this show out there. Firstly, we'd like to thank Greg Watt, who provided the logo for Rise of the Robots. Greg is also available as a quiz and pub event host if you look up Greg Watt Quizmaster on Facebook to find his contact details on there. That would be greatly appreciated. Thank you very much. But anyway, post-Gauntlet, they interview... Philippa interviews everyone. As I kind of mentioned, Nemesis seem a lot more camera aware. They're a lot...
Oh, they were great.
They were great fun.
Was this the point where she goes up to them and goes, are we allowed to see your robot without any clothes on? And then he goes, don't worry, he's not shy.
Yeah, no, that's this interview. So we then get on to the trial, which is sumo.
Or, as Jonathan Pierce goes, sumo! Did I say it right that time? I did. Jonathan Pierce?
Yes.
Nailed it.
So the basic idea is on a... Well, I don't know the exact dimensions, but on a circular platform,
mm-hmm.
The robot that's in the challenge and Shunt start on that circle, and they either have to push Shunt off or remain on
last
the...
Last a minute.
Or last a minute, exactly.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, what would have happened if all of them had just lasted a minute?
I've probably got the judges and it would determine who done the
best job.
Yeah, exactly. Like, because you could literally probably just, you know, collide.
Well, I think that actually happens in a couple of the later series sumo challenges.
Yeah.
But anyway, so in the trial, the first out is Shogun. And Shogun seems to resist at first, but ends up being edged off the ring. It did seem to kind of drive off at the end. Like the last part, it almost seemed like it kind of was pushing, and then there was a release and it went forward.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
And it lasted about 21 seconds.
21.51, to be exact.
Which makes it very lucky that Barry was out.
Poor Barry. Because Barry would have been so good at this. God damn it.
I said, Barry's heavier than Shunt.
Yeah.
Shunt, certainly in later series, is billed as being 105 kilos.
So Barry would still be bigger than Shunt, even to that extent.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And then next up was Killatron.
Yep, who managed to go to the distance. Shunt tried to push him off from the side, which I think was a bit weird because, pushing him from the side, he's not going to move very far. You kind of need to hit him from the front or the back.
Killatron ended up benefiting from that because of the shape of it. It ended up being able to turn away. Also, as previously mentioned, swinging the axe the whole time as well, which meant that the kind of weight was shifting on it, which made it even harder to kind of push around. I have to say, for those two fights, Shunt seemed very sluggish.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know if they were maybe recorded in a different order.
Yeah. I do think so. Well, actually, we'll be covering that because there is a trivia section at the end of the show.
Oh, okay. This is interesting.
Next up was Roadblock, which this is probably about the most spectacular thing they do in the whole episode. Shunt was out very fast, collides with Roadblock, and basically Roadblock manages to get underneath Shunt eventually, and pushes them out. Unfortunately, they take him with. They take themselves with them.
Yep.
They drive too far forward, and they take themselves out. Which means, technically speaking, because they weren't on the ring the whole time.
Yep. They're second to Killatron.
They're second to Killatron, and they're deemed to have survived rather than being victorious.
Yes, exactly.
Which
brings us on to the next participant, which is Nemesis. Who not only manages to knock off Shunt, but manages to also fucking keep himself on the podium the entire time and gets the entire Nemesis, two top level victories.
Yeah, exactly.
For Nemesis.
Nemesis was top of both trials. It was very much they used their shape to their advantage, and that every time Shunt did push them, they were able to turn away.
There were a couple of times where there was definitely a chance that Shunt was going to get in and knock them off. Like there was a good couple of times, but they managed, as you say, they managed to use their shape to their advantage. They kept spinning off of him, and they done really well at that. And then this is where those tail spikes came in. Like they were just kind of nudging him, bam, bam. Bum.
Yeah, like rubbing his bum against
it.
Yeah,
it shows no.
And it goes, then finally we get to Grunt.
I kind of wish you didn't tell me about this now.
Yes. Which drives straight off because he's a...
thing flying dog. That's a wrestling reference for anyone that doesn't watch wrestling.
Yes. He's an enhancement talent. He's a jobber. He is there to make up the numbers. So he drives off in less than 5 seconds?
Like, you could have at least had, like, a couple of seconds. Like, I mean, Jesus Christ. Shunt is about 3 times the size of Grunt. Shunt could have easily just cleaned the floor with him.
Exactly.
But, like, instead, Grunt's like, oh, we're going to drive around you and just drive off the edge. Then they interview the Grunt driver, and he's like, what happened? He's like, oh, I don't know, fucking steering problems, some shit.
And at this point, I notice there's only 8 minutes left in the episode.
Jeez, yeah.
Hi, Alan again, just with another break in the proceedings, just to thank one other individual for making this podcast fly. The theme music, which you hear in the background right now, which you also hear at the start and end of the podcast, is Master Machine by Techno Axe. You can check out more of their music, which is available royalty-free, at www.technoaxe.com. That is TEKNOAXE.com. You can also look up youtube.com/technoaxe to get access to his music. And now we get on to the actual fighting.
The Robot Wars!
Yes! So first Clarkson introduces the judges. I think I've mentioned them all before, but just in case I haven't. Professor Noel Sharkey.
Legend.
Eric Dickinson.
That guy.
And Adam Harper. Who Jeremy Clarkson seems to like because he...
it keeps giving him a little...
it's because he did something with a Sinclair C5. I think he managed to get Sinclair C5 up to 150 miles an hour.
Oh, I wish I knew where that was.
You really don't.
Do
I? Now, these judges are the judges for the remainder of Series 1 and actually for Series 2 as well. So we actually get on to... the robots get introduced to each other behind the pits. Philippa shows who's who, and Roadblock actually had a bit of banter.
Bants!
Yes!
Is this straight in? Straight out?
No, that's later.
Bollocks.
No, this is the... we're deciding what saw blade we're going to use.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And then they showed this weird square saw blade, and it's like, would that work?
It would work. I suppose the idea is that it wouldn't... it would be similar to a bar spinner, almost.
Chip away as opposed to, like, slicing.
The first battle is Roadblock versus Nemesis. Now, apparently, at this point, Nemesis had actually lost the ability to reverse because they burnt out their speed controllers during the match with Shunt.
Mm.
So they basically charge into Roadblock and press against him the whole time.
Just always be turning. Just always turning.
Yeah. Roadblock does some superficial damage with the saw.
Yeah, which I noted in my notes was practically the only time ever that I've seen Roadblock actually use his saw for, like, actual effect.
Mm-hmm. As I said, it doesn't seem to actually pierce the shell.
Nope, just rips off the fur.
Just rips off the fur, which does make a spectacular noise, I will admit. Roadblock at one point does get trapped in the corner of Matilda.
Yep, the CPZ.
Which, yeah, the four kind of corners are marked off. There's a load of spikes in one corner.
To trap the men as well.
There's a couple of grills around the arena.
Which come quite significant over time.
Yes, which are so almost like kind of cattle grid type grills. Or like the covering over a fan ceiling. Hmm.
I would love to know how they work more. It kind of baffles me a little.
Yes.
Needless to say, again, Barry would be this kind of robot that would not get stuck on a grill.
Exactly. Well, no, because it's slightly lower down, so they would get caught on the lip.
No, but they've got those massive wheels. They would easily fucking roll off of that shit.
So...
I'm sorry, I just really loved Barry.
Yes,
and it breaks my heart that fucking it never came back.
So, Roadblock actually, as they get stuck in the corner, Nemesis comes in, and ironically, when they come in, that's when they end up getting trapped on one of the railings at the side.
Mm.
So they actually basically push into Roadblock, and when they push, they end up driving onto the railings, and which means that they're trapped, which means Sergeant Bash gets to come over.
Oh, no.
But Sergeant Bash decides that he's going to use his flamethrower.
Burn it down!
Which, I mean, Nemesis did seem to slightly catch. It didn't seem to be that spectacular.
Just a little bit.
I do wonder if they maybe edited the battle a bit here, because it just seems to kind of all of a sudden, Roadblock's on.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly,
yeah,
it may be that Nemesis had stopped moving and that it was caught on the barrier, but it did seem to be like there's a little bit of fire. Because Nemesis is moving by the end.
Yeah, it totally is, though.
So Nemesis, so unless there's been an unknown later...
I think this may have just been like an error thing. It's like, we need to cut this match down for time.
Because I know that in later series, there's rules, for instance, if you are stuck on the barrier for 30 seconds, you're deemed to be immobilized, even if you then get taken off the barrier.
Yeah.
That will actually come important in one of the fights we'll cover much, much later.
Yeah.
So, Roadblock takes the victory, beats Nemesis.
Yeah, exactly as you say, Sergeant Bash sets Nemesis on fire, and then Matilda comes in, cuts off one of his eyes, which sounds incredibly painful, even for a robot. And then, yeah, as you say, he's just kind of like, up, that's it. And then, like, Jeremy Clarkson is like, Roadblock won! And it's like, okay then. Like, I mean, I definitely see Nemesis still moving, but,
yeah.
I mean,
and we then get on to the second fight, which is Killatron versus Shogun, which seemed to barely get started.
Oh, yeah.
Then Shogun just...
Yep. I have three lines of info for this. It was, the two of them dance a bit for a bit, then Shogun just gets stuck on the grill. Killatron gets to use the axe a few times, which is the first time we actually got to see that shit in action. And then Sergeant Bash comes in to attack Killatron, and then his own saw snaps.
Yes, he basically kind of catches at the wrong angle, and the sword blade just flies off.
Yep.
I believe it's a hardened blade, which may be why it kind of shatters as much as it does.
Yeah.
And why are they attacking the robot that is clearly going to win this fight? That's one thing I don't get.
That is a bit weird. I guess it's kind of like, at this point, it's like, ah, just... Do what you feel.
I have to say, the pickaxe, whilst it does have some effect, it doesn't appear to be piercing as much as more bludgeoning.
There's a part of Shogun that disconnects, but that's clearly like the
an access panel.
An access panel that you can get into. But that was the extent of the damage.
But anyway, it's clear that kind of Shogun takes a battering, Killatron takes the victory, which leads to a final of Killatron versus Roadblock.
Yeah.
Which I have to say, it's out of the two robots that reach the final, I think they are two of the stronger robots. They're certainly I imagine they're two of the ones the producers probably wanted to get fairly far. I do think, we'll get into this later, I do think when you look at some of the later episodes in the series, it does seem a shame that you have Nemesis, I'll say Shogun, but I think I'm being kind there,
okay.
But Nemesis, Shogun, and Barry, all of which probably could have reached finals in all the other episodes bar one.
Yeah.
Which I do think, it's one of the more solid episodes in terms of competitors. Anyway, on to the final of Killatron versus Roadblock. Killatron manages to get a few hits off it straight away. However, Roadblock gets underneath.
Kind of gets Killatron in the Sergeant Batch's CPZ for a while, which he does a little bit of damage. Gets his tail back, obviously. And then... it's piggyback time!
Yeah, Jonathan Pierce was having a lot of fun. Basically, what happens is Killatron kind of gets caught hot, similar to what happens in the ramp in the Gold Rush.
Yes, exactly.
He ends up getting caught kind of side on.
Except
one side.
Fucking Roadblock continues moving.
Yeah, one side underneath Killatron, one side almost touching the floor. and Roadblock is able to maneuver him over.
Yep.
Which means that he takes the victory.
Because there's no Shreemix back in Season 1.
Nope, and you'd have to say, out of all of them, Kiltron probably is the closest to having a Shreemix.
Yeah, probably. In Season 1, definitely.
Yep. As I said, Roadblock takes the victory. So, looking at it overall, it's a solid start. It's probably one of the stronger episodes of Series 1.
Good fun. Yeah, absolutely.
Three quite impressive machines, I think. Roadblock, kind of least spectacular of those three, but it seemed by far the best controlled. And
the absolute, like, he's the all-around, you know, like,
yeah.
Kind of in some of these kind of games that you get these days. Those game machines,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, sometimes you always get these, like, ooh, this is for the experienced player, this is for the newcomer, this is the kind of half and half. Like Roblox is kind of the half and half. He's not great, he's
the
not
Mario.
Bad, he's in the middle, totally in the middle.
As for the other two, I think Nemesis, they were top of the first two trials,
mm-hmm.
very well driven. Maybe didn't have the most effective weaponry.
Yeah.
And Kiltron, which by far had the best weaponry, but... Well, I say best weaponry, I think Roadblock probably did more damage out of the two of them, but...
It's debatable.
But yeah, I think one thing I did think, all three fights are very in the edit very quick. I mean, I said it was only 8
yeah,
minutes in.
Geez. Or 8 minutes left.
8 minutes left of the episode. So, in kind of reviewing the episode, I think we're also going to discuss the robot that we think was the most overperforming robot, and the one that probably underperformed.
Mm.
In terms of overperform, I kind of split between two. I don't know about yourself.
Okay, well, let's hear it.
The one I think most overperforms, and I think you can guess where, is Grunt. Because
yeah.
Grunt... as I mentioned before, is a Jobberbot.
Yeah.
And yeah, it is actually really well controlled. And I genuinely wish that the guy who entered... Well, the guy who was assigned to control him had actually been given a better robot, because I think he did a really good job in the gauntlet. The other candidate, which I can have, was Shogun.
Okay.
Which was a box on wheels.
It's a bit more legit of an argument, at least this time, so...
Yeah. What about you? You...
So, overperformed, you say?
Yeah.
I'll kind of agree with Shogun, just, like, purely because I didn't know this fucking back knowledge that you told us.
Yeah.
Which really disappoints me now, but it also makes complete sense as to what happened with the sumo.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure in my notes, actually, I had, like, that... Man, like, Grunt was so speedy, he could have just fucking...
ran around.
Yeah, just circled Shunt for, like, at least 30 seconds, but instead just drove off the edge like an idiot. And it's like, now I realise that he was a plant. He was a plant bot.
Yeah.
Another wrestling reference, and I apologise. We like wrestling.
Doesn't make you a bad person.
No, it just makes me a loser.
as for... underperforming robot,
mm-hmm.
I think it's safe to say Barry.
Absolutely.
Because
I've said it all fucking episode.
It's got a massive amount of weight. The weapon is probably quite advanced for Series 1.
Absolutely. And good speed. Very good speed. See if he made it, Barry made it to the battles. The speed rattling across that arena would have scooped anybody up.
The only thing I'd be interested with is basically, would it have got underneath Roadblock? Because that's the battle, probably. Which of Roadblock or... You see this in later episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Two robots that are dragging on the ground. It's the one that gets underneath that tends to win.
Yeah.
So that, as I said, I think Barry was an underperformer by quite a bit.
Definitely.
And finally, this is some trivia from the episode.
Yes.
According to the Robot Wars fandom wiki, which I really recommend reading. They've got extensive notes on every single robot, even different versions of the same robot.
Interesting.
So, the debut of Nemesis from the Republic of Ireland signified the first competitor outside the UK to compete in Robot Wars.
Awesome.
Roadblock, Kiltron, and Shogun were the first robots in the show to feature interchangeable weapons.
Hmm.
Roadblock was the first robot to complete the gauntlet.
He sure was.
Nemesis was the first robot to defeat Shunting Sumo. Roadblock also did this, but one fell off itself afterwards, was deemed to survive rather than one.
Yes.
And two, according to Peter Redman, who is part of the Nemesis team,
mm-hmm.
Nemesis actually went first. Nemesis went before Roadblock in the recording order.
Interesting.
There was a kind of discussion previously mentioned. There was some controversy over the fact that a stock robot completed the gauntlet with relative ease, meaning the legitimate competitor didn't get through.
Okay.
The team that actually ran Barry, Team Power, actually complained about it on their website as well.
That is actually...
Yeah. Also, if you have... You mentioned about seeing the Series 1 on video, mm-hmm. VHS. One of the things you actually see is there is a blooper reel,
mm-hmm.
which includes during the Roadblock and Nemesis fight, just as a member was going to, I think it was maybe the member with the fire extinguisher, which is rather worrying. Basically, one of the camera crew tripped on the arena wall, trying to get. Which, as I said, the fact that you got exposed camera guys right next to robots with
flamethrowers, yeah.
and axes, and it just is a bit scary.
Yeah,
and that
hence why, you know, later seasons definitely recorded in secluded boxes.
Absolutely.
This concludes episode 1 of Rise of the Robots.
In a fortnight's time, we'll be covering episode 2 of series 1 of Robot Wars. Just a reminder, if you are listening to this, if you can possibly like and subscribe, either on iTunes or wherever you found us. You can also find us at Twitter at podcastrotr, or you can email your feedback in to rotrpodcast@gmail.com.
We will get back to you.
Eventually. Thank you for listening to Rise of the Robots, Series 1, Episode A. The episode was presented by myself, Alan Sharp, and by The Grizz. If you have any feedback that you want to send us, please feel free to do so. You can either email rotrpodcast@gmail.com. That's ROTR Romeo Oscar Tango Romeo. You can also tweet in to @podcastrotr. And if you get in contact with us, I love those two ways. We'd be more than happy to hear your feedback, both of Robot Wars itself and of the series. If you want to leave feedback for the series, you can also leave reviews on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. Please do that, because the more reviews that we get, the higher in the charts we can rank. Who knows? We might even actually rank. And finally, I do need to remind anyone listening that Rise of the Robots is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 International License. In other words, you are able to distribute copies of this podcast. We just legally request that you make no money off the back of this, and that you credit us and link back to us when you do so. Thank you very much, and we will see you in 2 weeks.